take a short break from your very busy day running your own business so that I can offer you some coaching on business strategies, personal development, and daily habits that you need to create sustainable success. If you want to find out more ways that I can support you, hop on over to jeffreyshaw.com and learn about my speaking and check out my small business consulting and branding services. The Self-Employed Life. This is Business with a Soul. This coaching break episode is in response to a request from someone in our Self-Employed Life Community Facebook group. So please, if there's anything you want coaching on or a topic you want covered, please join our Facebook group at joinwarriors.com and let me know what would be helpful for you. Because I really, you know, I want to deliver to you the coaching support that's going to be most helpful to you. And I can guarantee if it's on your mind, it's on the mind of a lot of other people too. So join the group, put a post up and say, you know, hey, Jeff, I would love some coaching on this. And I'd love to take you up on that. So this request was for some ideas on business growth. So I'm going to assume we're starting at a bit of a stuck point. So I'm going to focus on some first steps for business growth, in part because it would make sense since someone asked, but also because of how strange the times are that we're living in. A lot of business owners, you know, are wondering what to do next. And, you know, I will say I'm hearing from a lot of people that are doing extremely well, and that's always great to hear. So I don't want to assume that everyone is struggling. But if you're looking for how to get your business rolling again, some first steps that you can take for business growth, I have a few ideas for you. The good thing is, as self-employed business owners, our businesses are built on relationships. So we're going to start with relationships and using those relationships that we have. What I see a lot of business owners do is go straight for the big marketing ideas, when really the best place to start is much closer to home. And what I mean by closer to home is your closer relationships. I sometimes refer to this as going for the lowest hanging fruit. It's not the greatest expression, but it gets the point across. Now, chances are the people closest to you, your family and friends, honestly, are probably not going to hire you. So they're not your family and friends. Our family and friends tend to not be our best prospects for work. But who they know likely are. And that's why this is the best first step for business growth, the best place to start. Your best prospects are likely just one step away from people you know best, your family and friends. So go to who you know best, who you are closest to currently, and ask them for referrals and introductions. So, I don't know, let's say your mom is a realtor. She of course is not going to hire you. Why should she pay you, right? But who does she know that will? So make a list of the people you know best, who you know a bunch of other people, right? So make a list of who you know best, who know a lot of other people. The good thing here is you don't need, you know, a ton of leads, because your chance of conversion is much higher because there's already a relationship to begin with, right? So if you're turning to people you're close to and they're turning to people they know, it's just one degree away. So that person that's being introduced to you already feels a bit of a relationship with you. So step number one is to make a list of who you know that knows other people that could be good prospects for your business. And just, you know, call that person, call that family member or friend and ask for the introductions. It's as easy as that, you know, easy, no cost. I think you'll also find people want to help you. You know, as you reach out to people who are reaching out to other people on your behalf, there's sort of this, you know, this desire to help people that we know. And this can be highly effective. The second ring of people you know are people you were previously connected with but haven't spoken to in a long time. Maybe you haven't even spoken to in years or perhaps several years. Maybe they are past coworkers at a job you had a long time ago. Now, I know you might be thinking it's weird to contact people you haven't stayed in touch with because, you know, maybe you feel guilty you haven't stayed in touch with them, or you feel like the relationship has fallen off or out of sight, out of mind. And you wonder, you know, why would they want to help you if you haven't been in touch? But oddly enough, research says otherwise. And I'm pretty sure it was David Berkus, when I interviewed him for his book, Friend of a Friend, I'm pretty sure it was David that pointed out that it turned out this to be true, that people that you haven't been in touch with for many years are, for some reason, oddly eager to help you out. Right? It actually turned out to be, in David's findings, that it was those people that you haven't been in touch with for a long time somehow were rejuvenated by hearing from you and were highly jazzed about trying to help you out. Right? So it seems odd, but you know, maybe it's that they think it's cool to catch up. I'm not sure. But personally, I also think it has something to do with kind of a comfort zone. For example, have you ever, I don't know, have you ever been grieving or faced a loss, or you knew somebody else that was and found it easier to talk to someone who is slightly removed from your everyday circle? Right? I've seen people I sort of know on Facebook express that they lost someone, and I've posted and offered myself up as someone they can contact if they need to talk, recognizing that even though we don't know each other super well, sometimes that's actually easier. Sometimes it's easier to open up with someone who's just, you know, there are reasons we open up to people that we're closest to, but there are also those people that's just a little less emotional connection or baggage. And sometimes that can make it easier to talk things out with. I don't know. I'm just projecting here that maybe that's why this very odd thing works, that you can reach out to people you haven't been in touch with for years, and somehow they're really excited to hear from you and eager to help you out. So I think, you know, reaching out to people you haven't been in touch with for a lot of years is sort of like that, just comfort zone, just a little removed. So next thing you could do is make a list of people that you haven't been in touch with a long time that you used to interact with, and see if they can offer up some introductions or referrals. Think about past jobs. Think about your masterminds that maybe you were in a long time ago, or weekend retreats that you did, or just think about the circle of people that you probably have a pretty big circle of knowing, of people that you had a connection with, you just haven't really stayed in touch. And see if you can't rejuvenate that connection and ask them for referrals or connections. Next place to look for work is your own past clients or database. Now, I know this is so obvious, but I'm always amazed at how many business owners tell me they aren't doing anything or haven't done anything in years to nurture their past clients. Now, what I'm going to suggest is to try to do more than just reach out to everyone with the same message, right? What you want to do is kind of break it down to more specific messages, even dividing your list of past clients into something a little bit more specific. You know, it doesn't have to be a unique message for every one of them, but maybe that database breaks up into buckets. Maybe how many years since last you worked with them, or maybe it's the service you provided for them that has been new and improved, or you're doing something slightly different with it, or, you know, something. Just divide your list a little bit so you can be a little bit more specific. So let's say you're in the business of something that requires frequent updating, or updating every couple of years or so. Reach out and say, you know, hey, I noticed it's been 3 years and we find that most of our customers prefer to update, you know, such and such every 2 to 3 years. Or acknowledge how something or the world has changed and relate it back to them. So the point is to make that message that you send to your list to kind of rejuvenate that, your past clients, to rejuvenate that database in your relationship. The point is to make your message more specific so that it doesn't feel to them like it's just a general blanket email, because that actually can make it, that can actually bring awareness to the fact that you've been MIA. You know, that can, if you just send out a blanket email, it can make it more obvious that you haven't been in touch. Where if you can bring up something specific, like you know something about them, even if it's, you know, you know the last time they did business with you, and then give them a compelling reason as to why now is the perfect time to serve them again. Because I'll tell you, I think 90% of marketing is giving people an idea. Just giving people an idea. I mean, I'm sorry to break it to you, but shockingly, you are not on the mind of your clients every day. None of us are. But reaching out, letting them know you remember something specific about doing business with them, and then suggesting a new idea can go a long way. Again, keep in mind, you know, just a guess here, like 90% of marketing is giving people an idea because they're just busy living their lives, not thinking about you and your business and what you offer that can help them. And time is slipping by and they don't realize it. Just give them an idea. This was actually an ongoing system in my photography business. We would call those clients cycle clients. You know, I was fortunate. We had a huge base of clients that photographed every year. You know, those were the clients that we referred to as our annual clients. And of course, they got the most personal attention, but they were also the easiest clients. That's why I refer to them as our ideal customers, because all it required, we knew they wanted to photograph every year. So all it took was a reminder email to say, hey, let's get that session booked. Easiest clients possible. And of course, the most profitable. But then there were those clients that we noticed were on sort of a cycle. You know, we would hear from them every 2 years, 3 years, and they would want to do another portrait session. So those clients, we would actually indicate in our database that they had developed a pattern of their own that we observed. But then there were those clients, which were pretty much everyone else, which was clearly the biggest swath of clients that we would if we haven't heard from them in a while, they would get an email from us automatically every 3 years. So any client that we hadn't heard from in 3 years would automatically get an email. Now I say automatically, I'm not saying it was pre-generated in an automated system, but the system, a database, alerted me on an annual basis, these are all the clients we've not heard from in 3 years. And then we would send them an email and say something like, you know, hey, we noticed you haven't done a portrait session in 3 years. And I find parents rarely want to go longer than 3 years since their children change so much. All right. So we were acknowledging that it's been 3 years, and we were giving them a compelling reason as to why they should reconsider doing a portrait session. Now, of course, I know it could be that they worked with another photographer in that time, but I kind of just assumed that they weren't, and presented myself as if just so much time had gone by that maybe it hadn't occurred to them. And I will tell you, by and large, clients would respond and thank me for reminding them because they hadn't realized how much time had passed. And they hadn't realized that, oh my gosh, you're right. I don't want it to be more than 3 years since the last time I photographed my kids. They will be, you know, all grown up. They will be too different. So it had both elements to it. It had the timing and acknowledging that I knew that made them feel special. I knew exactly when the last time we photographed was, and I gave them a compelling reason as to why to do it again. And that is the magic formula, if you will, in re-engaging your email list. And this, as I said earlier, is some of your lowest hanging fruit. So reach out to your own list of past clients, no matter how big or small it is. Again, as I said a moment ago, small is okay in this case because you're likely to have a higher conversion rate because of the intimacy of the relationship. Just look into their record a bit so you can acknowledge something specific about them to make it personal, and then suggest a compelling reason why they should work with you again. And that will go a long ways. So there are three ideas for potential clients that you can reach out to immediately. Now, mind you, none of this is going to cost you anything. You know, you've got your list of people one step away from people that you are closest to. You've got a list of people that you haven't been in touch with for many years. And you've got a way to re-engage your own past clients, right? Don't you think you can derive some business just from that? Right? That's why this is the first steps for business growth. This is your easiest, cheapest, first actions that you can take. And wouldn't this be a great place to start? I mean, literally no cost, and it's all based on relationships. Now, a couple of additional quick tips as you reach out. is you want to be very clear on what you are currently doing, what's different about your approach, even if they're your past clients, you know, just kind of remind them what makes you different at what you do than everyone else. So there's a compelling reason to hire you and not someone else. And be very specific about who the ideal customer is that you're looking for. You know, since two out of three of the ideas I'm presenting to you are suggesting that you're asking for intros and referrals, you have to make it super, super easy for them to think of someone and communicate what you do. I'll tell you what you don't want to hear is, well, let me think about it. If you're getting a response, if you reach out to somebody looking for referrals and introductions and they say, let me think about it, then you haven't done a good enough job to make it clear to them who you're looking for and what you do. Because if someone says, let me think about it, A, they won't think about it. And B, what they're really saying is that it's requiring too much brain power for them to think about who they can refer to you. And you don't want to do that to people. You know, I'll tell you a quick story of a photographer I coached a number of years ago who specialized in newborn portraits. And that was brand new to me because that was not something I ever really did as a photographer. But what I understood about newborn photography is really those portraits need to be done within 2 weeks after birth. Otherwise, it's not really considered, you know, newborn, at least for this photographer's style. I mean, she was photographing right after birth. So we did some research and, you know, mind you, this photographer didn't have children of her own at that time. And so I gave her the homework of reading the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Like, what's the advice? Like, what are people told? And what we found is that women that were pregnant tended to not think about photographing that baby until the last trimester, right? Makes sense. I mean, why would you think about having the baby photographed so early in the pregnancy? So it was kind of like in the last trimester, women would start to think about doing a portrait of this newborn. And then, of course, there's a 2-week window of time after birth. So based on some of these ideas here, I suggested that she, first of all, go through her mother who worked in a large office and go through her mother and be introduced to other people for which she could pose a very specific idea to, which was, you know, obviously introducing herself as a newborn photographer and saying, hey, do you know any women who are in their last trimester of pregnancy or have given birth in the last 2 weeks? Now, that is so specific. You won't get a response, gee, let me think about it. You either know somebody or you don't. You either know somebody in their last trimester of pregnancy or just gave birth 2 weeks ago. So that's why you want to be really specific as to who the ideal customer is to make it an easy thought for the person you're asking the referral from. All right, so your goal in reaching out to those closest to you for introductions and those that you haven't been in touch with for a long time, for those that you're asking for referrals and introductions, your goal is to be so clear about what you do and who you're looking for that they can think of someone right away off the top of their head. If they can't, it means one of two things. Either you haven't made it really clear what you do and who you're looking for, or they legitimately don't know anybody that fits that description. And that's okay too. Now you know and you can move on. So that's my coaching advice on some first steps for business growth. If you're feeling, you know, a little stuck, you're recovering from what has been a brutal several months in business and you're looking to get things rolling again, this is some good advice on some first steps for business growth. Because you know what? Once you get something going and you get some business coming in, now you can invest on the bigger ideas. Right now you can invest in other business growth ideas like maybe improving your website or some Facebook advertising. That's great. But first, get the ball rolling. And these first steps for business growth are some of the best ways I know of that I can advise you on getting the ball rolling. You know, because part of my point is so often when business owners want to get business rolling, they overlook what's closest to them. And they end up spending money that, quite honestly, they don't have at that moment to try to improve the situation, which only worsens the situation. There's so much you can do that's of little to no cost right in front of you. There's a lot you can do close to home to get the ball rolling. And then that momentum will give you the option to think of other ideas. So, you know, good luck to you on taking some of these first steps for business growth. Truly, let me know how some of these ideas work out for you after you give them a try. Again, if you're part of the Facebook group, go to joinwarriors.com. That's the best place to communicate with me and let me know what you've tried, what's worked, what hasn't worked. I'm happy to continue to talk it out with you. But I will tell you, many of my coaching clients have gotten immediate results with the very same advice I just shared with you. You are honestly likely closer to gaining some new business right now than you may think or how you may feel. So just take these ideas and run with it and let me know how it works out for you. Remember, as always, you might be in business for yourself, but you're not in business by yourself. Be your best self, be proud, and keep changing the world.